Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're into hour number two of Locked and Loaded today, which is Tuesday the 19th of July 2022. We had quite a lively session with my old sparring partner, Darren of Plymouth, who stood in for me last week when I was off on my week's break, my rest and relaxation period of 7 days, which was absolutely wonderful. And I'm not going to lie, it was difficult to crawl back to the microphone yesterday morning after having my head shard from all the nonsense in the world for the last 7 days. But hey, this is my job. We got to do it. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you just don't want to go to work, but you got to go to work, because if you don't go to work, then the job doesn't get done. So that's what we're all about here on TNT Radio, about getting the job done. Later on in the show, in my last hour, I'm going to be joined again by my old friend, Roger Tattersall from Yorkshire in England. We're going to be talking climate. We're going to be talking immigration. We're going to be talking politics. We're going to be talking just about everything. And of course, the good old British summer. We'll have to talk about the death, potential imminent death that's incoming for all of us from the heat, i.e. the possibility that we might touch 40 degrees for one day in one part of the UK. But yeah, let's all hide in the house. Let's run a cool bath, put our face masks on and sit there in fear and trembling and not live our lives because we might get a little bit warm. What a sad world we live in when people are afraid of the heat. That's all I have to say about that. Before I bring my next guest on for the first time, I've got some new blood on TNT Radio, Unlocked and Loaded anyway. He's been on Mike Rann's show a few times, I know that much. And my old friend Stephen Kelly, who I define as a legend, by the way. He's an Aussie legend, Stephen Kelly. And I've told him he needs to start a political party, the ALP, the Aussie Legend Party, and I will endorse it and I will back him. I will move to New South Wales if I have to, and I will get behind that 100%. And the guy that's coming on imminently is a work colleague of Stephen's and a thoroughly nice chap altogether. His name's Tony Nicolick. But let's look at some of the good news stories that are hitting the Australian headlines today, as per right now. Australia's environment is in shocking decline, says a report from the BBC. That was just 4 hours ago. Australia's environment is in shocking decline. Why? Huh? Why is it in shocking decline? The Greenies are in power. They're coming into power. They want to put wind turbines and solar panels everywhere, and you stop using plastic straws in McDonald's. So why is the environment in shocking decline, given all the restrictive measures that are being put in place by these green lunatics? Well, I'll let you draw your own conclusion from that. The Guardian Australia is writing that Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz calls for windfall profits tax in Australia. Windfall profits? Who's making lots of money at the minute? Is it you, listener? Are you making lots of money? Are you making windfalls in your job? Are you getting 20% index-linked pay increases? Of course you're not. You're suffering. You're having to put cabbage in your Big Macs because they can't even afford iceberg lettuces in McDonald's right now in Australia. So who's making the money? The energy companies, the power companies, the big wigs, the big pharma companies. So Joseph Stiglitz is calling for a windfall profits tax in Australia. Whether or not that actually happens or not, only time will tell. Also in Australian news, with inflation rising in Australia, an uncomfortable truth. This is The Guardian again, by the way. An uncomfortable truth is we waste a lot of what we have. Well, guess what? We've been saying that right off the bat on TNT for the last 6 months straight. And there are people out there who actually think we're some kind of right-wing fringe organization that pump out conspiracy theories. Let me tell you this. See what we say today? You timestamp this. I'm going to have a chat with this guy, Tony Nicolick. See what we say today? Come back in 6 months or a year, and everything we say will have come to pass, and they'll be writing about it in the BBC and The Guardian because they're a bunch of hacks. They're hacks, and they write trash, but they catch up with us in the long run. And lastly, whew, deep breath, Rick, deep breath. COVID-19 Australia in the Daily Mail. Chief medical officer calls on bosses to let staff work from home if feasible. There's this obsession about putting us under house arrest. And, you know, it's tempting, I must add. It's tempting to want to work from home, especially if you don't like being in an office and, you know, you don't like being in that atmosphere. You're like, yeah, please, boss, let me work from home. But in reality, you're just strangling business. They're strangling the economy. Small businesses are being lost. City centers are dying because there's no footfall in the city centers. And this is the attack on the small to medium enterprise businesses, the heart of independent finance. It's being attacked slowly, slowly. And sadly, we're enabling it to happen by going along with these work from home orders. But listen, we've said that as well, and we're starting to see that come to pass also. Okay. That's enough good news for one segment. For a complete list of our shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, go to our website at tntradio.live. We give you the latest news as you've just listened with your own two ears, me spouting down the microphone. We also serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators. I am the exception to that, of course. I am neither credible or an expert, but I certainly am a commentator who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, right here on TNT Radio.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Tony Niklick is in the house, and that is a rather splendid name, I must say. You sound like a WWE wrestler. The new champion is Tony Niklick, fighting out of Sydney in Australia. Tony, welcome to the show for the first time. I hope I haven't frightened you off with that introductory monologue.
Oh, you certainly have, and if anything, it's pumping me right up. I feel like Rocky now going up those stairs. Thanks, Rick.
Well, wait to tell you, I feel like Rocky myself some days, but when I try and run up the stairs, even in my house, let alone the steps of the Philadelphia Library, mate, four steps up and I'm panting like this. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're one step ahead of me, mate. I pant watching it, so...
Listen, welcome to the show. You're not a stranger to TNT Radio. You've been on with my good chum Mike Ryan a few times, but it's the first time that I've got speaking to you on Locked and Loaded. Welcome to this show, and yeah, I hope you find it a pleasant experience. How are you doing today, or should I say this evening?
This evening here, yeah, thank you. Look, Mike's a wonderful guy, and thank you for having me on the show too. I really appreciate it. I think, as you have alluded to in your introductions, I don't know if the world's going insane or, the rulers or those who perceivably believe they are masters of the universe are guiding it into some fascist-type global state, if you'd like to call it.
Well, here's the thing, Tony. Okay. And by the way, just for our lovely listeners, Tony is a civil rights lawyer or solicitor, depending on where you live. Some people brand them in different ways, but he's a civil rights lawyer, solicitor. He's based out of Sydney in Australia, and you can connect with him. And especially because, let's be honest, there'll probably be a lot of people listening to this show today who are being persecuted or ostracized or potentially kicked out of their jobs because of mandates and rules and regulations that the government are trying to push through that aren't actually legal. If you're in that position, you can contact Tony at aflsolicitors.com.au. That's the website, aflsolicitors.com.au. And also, he's on Twitter at Tony Niklick, N-I-K-O-L-I-C 10, at Tony Niklick 10. Tony, I think you're right. I hate to say you're right, and I hate to think I'm right, but there's definitely a push going on at the minute to enslave and depopulate the world. And it sounds crazy, and it sounds like the stuff that a lunatic would say. But I'm sorry, my friend. What I'm seeing with my eyes and what I'm hearing with my ears and what I'm experiencing in the real world confirms that to be true. And if you don't accept that, I say you're the one that's delusional if you don't think that that's the case.
I certainly agree, Rick. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but on 7th of July 2021, I wrote a letter to all the chief ministers of Australia. It went to the New South Wales Minister, Bradley Hazzard. It went to the Federal Minister for Health, Greg Hunt. Greg Hunt famously got on the media and said this is the world's biggest clinical trial. I wrote that letter on the 7th of July 2021, notwithstanding the fact that many people shot it down as saying, and not in a bad way, they said, wow, this guy's got a, and I encourage you, go to my website, read that letter. And what you have just said there is to the T, because almost everything I said in that letter prior to it coming into fruition has come true. And the good thing about it is a 29-page letter, and it gives you statistics, it gives you facts, it gives you evidence. And what I articulated in that letter was something that pretty well foresaw where we were going. Why was that? Because I wrote a book chapter in 2012, published in 2014. It was the International Handbook of Whistleblower Research, in particular chapter 16. Again, you can go to my website. You can have a look at that. What was that about, Rick? It was about pharmaceutical frauds and false claims. Not prosecuted by conspiracy theorists, but prosecuted by the Department of Justice and the FBI in the USA. I did a Senate submission in 2017, and I was talking about the misleading and deceptive conduct predominantly occurring within the pharmaceutical sector. And what I was trying to say to people at that point, I was actually talking about antidepressant use in children, how they had no morals, no ethics. Now, don't get me wrong, Rick. The pharmaceutical industry is a very important industry. We've got to give them some credit. They do save lives. But we can't take that to say that everything they say is honest and truthful every time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is the fallacy we're living on. And, you know, post hoc ergo propter hoc. Just because B follows A doesn't mean that A caused B. Okay? And we've forgotten this. We get into these media fallacies. How do we get there? Well, we get these socially constructed environments. It's through this, I call it the legacy media, because people have gone these alternative media routes now. That's what I'm seeing here. So that 7th of July letter, please read it. You'll see that from 1891, I believe, to 2019, I said that the COVID issues presently facing Australia are hitting the 80-year-old to the 99-year-old. Every life is important. Everyone is very important to all of us. But that hasn't changed. So from 1891 to 2019, the predominant or the main death statistics occurred in that data range of the elderly. But having said that, they didn't die predominantly of COVID, they died with COVID. So they had multiple comorbidities. And we know as we get older, you know, look, you know, my brain writes checks, my body can't cash anymore myself, as they say. And what I was trying to say to people is during that phase, what you actually found is life expectancy went up. It didn't go down, it went up. And if we were really in this catastrophic, and this is before anyone was looking at these stats, I was pointing out to everybody that if life expectancy is going up, how can we be in this global disaster? We're not. And that's what I was trying to say. And if you read my letter, I'll let you read it, please. It's full of facts. It's full of evidence. You will see adverse events. And I was pointing them out back then. I went on Sky News in Australia, and Rowan Dean said, this isn't just a letter. This is putting everyone in Australia on notice, and especially the politicians and regulators that we're onto you.
Here's the thing. You wrote that letter back in – this is quite strange, actually. You wrote that letter back in July of last year, 7th of July 2021, and you mentioned Brad Hazard, right? And here's a strange little story for you. And indirectly – it's because of Brad Hazard that I'm actually on the radio today, right? Indirectly because of Brad Hazard. And I'll tell you why. I made a Twitter video last July, and I talked about instead of, you know, neighbors Kelly and Jason in Australia, they've been replaced by Hitler and Goebbels, okay? And one of the people that I referenced was Brad. I like to call him Biohazard. His name's Brad Biohazard. He's an absolutely obnoxious, hateful, contemptible individual, period. He's the kind of guy I would love to slap, okay? Brad Hazard, I'm not a big fan, but I made a video referencing Hazard. Someone in Australia saw it and sent it to Mike Ryan, who asked me to come on to his Asia Pacific show for 5 minutes that I thought was a setup to make me look bad. And then he liked it. And then he got back to me and he said, listen, down the line, 6 months from now, if I do a radio show, would you be interested in coming on board? And I went, yeah, I thought he was drunk. But listen, here I am today. So ironically, last July, you wrote a letter to Brad Hazard and you put Australian notice. I made a video about Brad Hazard and here I am on beaming out of Brisbane talking about him live on TNT Radio. So Brad Hazard, I really don't like you very much, but indirectly, I have to give you a shout out and a thank you because, hey, if it wasn't for Biohazard, I wouldn't be on the radio talking to you today. But listen, we've got to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I want to look at this work that you've done, especially in relation to that letter and what you're all about. Okay. So in other words, you know, you're trying to champion people that have been vaccine injured, especially considering they've been ignored by the mainstream media, the legalities of lockdowns, you know, mandatory vaccinations. I want to go into that in a little bit more detail when we come back after these short breaks here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Misty Winston.
Here live at Freedom Fest 2022 at the Mirage in Las Vegas. It is day four, final day, and we are just wrapping up and having a few more interviews with some really interesting people. We're joined right now by Michael Pack, who's the author of Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. And it's there's the book, but there's also a documentary film. I knew a bit about Clarence Thomas, but not a lot. So it's a really interesting perspective. And I think what's so fascinating about this is Michael made the deliberate decision just make it Clarence Thomas giving you his story. So it is just him facing a camera in the film and answering questions. Longest interview that he's given, 24 hours over 4 months, really diving in deep to his history, his past, his evolution. So it's a really, regardless of your opinion on Clarence Thomas, I think it's a really fascinating perspective to hear from him. He's really kind of notoriously private.
Misty Winston on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It's not just a music box. It's a ballerina's castle. It's a place to keep special things. It's noticing the letter. It's hearing it's for her mom. It's the moment you realize a 10-year-old girl has come to terms with her terminal illness. It's telling her how brave she is. It's agreeing to pass the letter on after she's gone. It's not just a music box. It's one of the most important tools we use. Social work with children and families is changing. Join us. Call 0300 123 1220 or search Be The Difference.
Forget your mobile and what's the worst thing that can happen? You have to find the last payphone in Britain. Forget Valentine's Day. Tricky one, but nothing a little charm couldn't solve. Forget that the dishwasher actually works a lot better if you turn it on and it's a few excuses about dodgy wiring. Forget to check the batteries in your smoke alarm, and maybe one night poisonous smoke fumes from a fire will drift silently upstairs and suffocate you or your family. Remember, test them every week. Push the button, not your luck.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm talking to Tony Nikolic, civil rights lawyer based out of Sydney in Australia. Australia. I almost was an Australian. My friend, my dad immigrated to Melbourne in Victoria back in 1968, planned on meeting a nice Aussie woman, having children, of which I would have been one, but he got cold feet and he ran back home again to Northern Ireland back in 1969. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, because otherwise I would be living under the dictatorship of desperate Dan Andrews right now. So isn't it a strange world we live in? Tony's based out of Sydney. AFLsolicitors.com.au. Check him out on Twitter at Tony Nikolic 10. Tony, you're all about raising awareness, challenging the legalities of the things that have been going on, the mandatory vaccinations, the legality of lockdowns, trying to champion the people that have been vaccine injured as well. Tell me some of the more absurd things that you've been dealing with at this point in time, of which I'm sure there are many.
Well, Rick, there is, and perhaps this show isn't long enough for that, but I'll try and summarise as many as I can in a short amount of time. There was one case, it was a very famous case of 12-year-old children who were pepper sprayed by police for not wearing a mask. They couldn't produce what they said was an exemption. I just take this back to the Warsaw ghettos days where, you know, a mask is, and I talk about symbolic interactionism. Now, look, I've got a honours degree in criminology as well. And a large part of that is, as you would know, I've got a master's in law, criminology honours, but the issue really is this: you do psychology, sociology, philosophy, a little bit of law. So in the, within that sociological context, we have, you know, symbolic interactionism, socially constructed environments of which, you know, we take this semblance of what is a perceived reality, but not really a reality, really quick. So what ended up happening here, a young lady, I believe she was in her, I think 1920, was asked by a police officer, where's your mask? She said, I don't need to wear one. Where's your exemption? I don't need one. Essentially what ended up happening was the police called for backup. This is, I think she was about 5 foot two, Rick. You know, we're talking about big burly police officers. Okay. I think 8 or 9 cars came. Okay. Family members of the young lady came. There were children there, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. And the police just went wild on everyone. And people were taken to the ground, thrown to the ground, pepper sprayed. Shopkeepers in that plaza came out, were taking kids and pouring milk on their eyes because they were in distress. This was because there was no mask. Remember, this is for your safety, Rick. This is for your safety. Okay, now let me tell you how we won it. They had no authority to do that whatsoever. They thought they had the authority. And how did they get that? Well, the media was talking about it. And the media was saying, you must wear a mask, you must wear this. But at that point in time, that those regulations weren't in. Okay? And what we have kids who are scarred now. So we won that case, and we actually got costs from the police officers. There are other cases
That's good.
Yep. Well, we are getting victories. Yes, we are. You just need to be able to, you know, I think as you may know, if you go to my website, you'll see Hold the Line. That is now a trademark. I had it proved today. It is now a trademark. It's called hashtag Hold the Line. Yes. Hashtag Hold the Line. And that is not for you to give up or give in or just stick there and do nothing. As any good battle, if we remember the Korean War, the United Nations come into, well, the United Nations got pushed all the way back to Busan. But you know what they did? They held the line and they pushed them all the way back up to the 38th parallel. What I've been saying from day one is this is our Busan. We need to push them back to the 38th parallel, get your rights back, fight for them. They're not going to come back if you don't do nothing. Because if you don't do anything, it's not coming.
You see, you're mentioning, I think people need to do several things and people need to prepare for what's ahead. They're already in a war, whether they realize it or not. Okay, you need to be strategically minded. Yeah. You need to be militarily minded, even if you're not in the army. You need to understand military strategy. You need to understand basic critical thinking. You know, and I'm a big advocate of the art of war. Yes. You know, I keep it and reference it here all the time. It's, you can buy it for like $5, $10 on a secondhand online thing. Buy the damn book, read it, and understand the principles of military warfare and strategy. Does that mean I'm calling Australians to arms to take to the streets and fight the army? No, I'm not. No. But I'm saying the mentality that needs to be employed against these people, you need to know your boundaries. You need to know their boundaries. You need to know when to fight, when to back off, when you're overwhelmed and when you're not. And you need to mobilize your troops and your resources accordingly. And that case, for example, that you have just mentioned to do with the masking in the UK, legally in the UK, the law said that mandatory masking was in public places, hospitals, etc., unless you are exempt. There was never any proof required by law to show that you were exempt. You simply had to say, I'm exempt. You were allowed to be challenged. So I could come up to you in a shop and say, Tony, we asked that people wear masks here. Your only answer should have been, I'm exempt. But because people didn't understand the law and they didn't understand what their rights were, the shopkeepers usually said, well, I'm phoning the police if you don't come. And then they've seen videos like what you were talking about where the girls were pepper sprayed and they see the brutality and they think, well, I don't want to get involved with the police. I'm just going to comply. When in reality, they didn't know what their own basic human rights were and their own basic protection under law was. So it's very important I think you would concur is that you need to know what the law actually is, and you need to understand when they are actually overstepping the law. And you don't need to be arrogant, and you don't need to be violent. You just have to stand, hold the line, hashtag hold the line, trademark today, hot news off the press. And you need to say, look, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to be aggressive towards you. I'm just telling you that's wrong. It's not the law. And if you want to put the cuffs on me, I'm not going to resist you. Take me to the station. And then after I get out, I'll be straight on the phone to Tony Nicolick. And I'm going to get a big fat compensation claim. Thank you very much, because I haven't done anything wrong. So I'm a big advocate of that. Also, Tony, knowing your rights, I'd like you to tell us another story, but we need to come back after this quick news break, and maybe you could tell us about some other victories that you've been having, because this will encourage people that are listening to think, oh, we're beat, we're down. Some people are losing confidence and hope. You're giving people a little bit of inspiration today. So we'll be right back after this short news clip on TNT Radio.
With a check of the day's headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. China has issued a warning to the United States and vowed to defend its territorial integrity, after Washington approved a major weapons deal with Taiwan, worth more than $100 million. Iran has accused Washington of stoking tensions in the Middle East by spreading Iranophobic sentiments, after Joe Biden wrapped up his first presidential visit to the region. And weather records continue to tumble in the United Kingdom, as a summer heatwave cooks the country.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, Tony is discussing some, he's discussed one big win anyway, and that's a case, I believe, I actually saw the video clip of that when it was originally put out last year, of this girl being pepper sprayed by police for not wearing a mask. Can you imagine? And the excessiveness is something that I find very striking, especially with Victoria Police, okay? And, you know, that's a fact. They were very heavy-handed. I'm just talking about that as an example about Victoria Police, but police right across the world, right across Australia, were very heavy-handed with people, especially women and young girls. Didn't seem to be so big and tough when it came to, you know, groups of men. But if they found a lone woman or a child in this case, they were very happy to brutalize and use pepper spray and extreme violence in restraining and arresting said people. What else have you been involved with along those lines, or what other wins have you had over the last 12 months that you would want to drop into conversation here today?
Well, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever seen that case of the alleged horse puncher. There was an issue there at Town Hall Station in the city. There was a young chap by the name of Mr. Poo Kovnik. There was a big riot type horse, you know, that they use in those riot mobilization type events to crowd control. He was alleged to have struck a horse. He was charged with affray, animal cruelty, and a breach of the public health orders. Well, I think anyone that's seen that footage, and I urge you to go out there and have a look. I'll put it up on my website so everyone can have a look. There is no punch on this horse. No punch on this horse. Let me tell you what happened in that case. That's still going because I'm not giving up. You know why? Because we hold the line. They're putting so much pressure on him that they want him to give up. He's going to hold the line. And I want to tell you this right now. The police in that case, what they've done, they've made these allegations. But more importantly is they've given these charges or issued these charges, and we're having to subpoena them for the photographs that we know they have, which we shouldn't have to do. They're the prosecution. They need to come to us and say, this is the evidence we have. Well, that's just not the way it should work, okay? That's number one. Number two, here it is. He spent 15 days in prison. He had a very minor incident when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. He should not have spent 15 days in prison for that. Now, whilst he was in prison, I did 100 plus affidavit, page affidavit, and I spoke about the Mandela rules, United Nations Mandela rules for prisoners in custody. A lot of people don't know that there are these United Nations protocols. They'll apply over there in the UK and everywhere. And I want you all to understand, go and have a look at the Mandela principles for people in custody. Now, there were rules there where someone who's in custody gets to contact their lawyer and gets to contact their family. For 15 days, they did not allow him to contact his lawyer. And they did not allow him to contact his family. Now, there were circumstances there. He said, I don't want to do a PCR test because there is a medical issue of which I cannot do that. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, this is Australia 2020, well, at that time, 2021. This is not Nazi Germany. This is not Stalinist Russia where we have gulags. These are not the Warsaw ghettos. This was Sydney 2021. Going back to the police, let me tell you something. You've had Mr. Kelly, the legend, right? Stephen Kelly works at my firm. Not just him, but we've got other guys out there, Roland, Crystal, and these are all ex or former police officers, Kevin Dawson, Alex Cooney. These are all guys who put their heart on their sleeve and said, I'm sorry, I'm a police officer to serve the community. I'm not in a paramilitary organization. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to suppress and beat the hell out of my public. I'm here to serve and to protect. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is one thing we've forgotten here. We've seen people have beaten up for not wearing a mask. These are why these police officers of high moral integrity left the force. Okay? Mm-hmm. They took their oath seriously. They said, I am not going to attack my own citizens. You can say what you want. I'm not going to attack my own citizens. Mm-hmm. And this is what we fight for. We have these guys like poor Christian Pukovnik, who was held in custody, first time in jail ever, and we all know what jails are. Okay? They're not a good environment. Okay? And he spent 15 days in custody. The toilets didn't work. Okay? He was then transferred into another cell. This poor guy, it amazes me because when I talk to some senior barristers and solicitors, they say, oh, well, there was a breach of the public health orders. And no, that's excessive. That is excessive. And we've forgotten this sense of proportionality. If you read my letter of 7 July 2020, what do I speak of? I speak of the Syracuse Principles. The Syracuse Principles, Australia signed the International Covenant on Civil Political Rights in 1972, and the Syracuse Principles in 1984, I believe, they were passed. But what that meant is if there's going to be an emergency or a state of martial law, we still need human rights, and there needs to be a proportionality element to what we have. Beating the hell out of people on the streets is not proportional for a mask, number one. That's my view. I don't know what anyone else thinks out there, but that's my view. Putting people in jail for the first time for something, and we watch the footage, and I encourage all your listeners or viewers, watch the footage. It is not a punch. Mm-hmm. It is not a punch. It is not a punch. There's this massive horse the size of a London double-decker bus coming for you. He puts his hand up.
Yeah, understandably.
What else are you going to do?
As you're telling me this story, I don't know if you've ever – we were talking earlier on about Rocky. If you're a film fan, you've probably seen Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood, the original Dirty Harry movie. It sounds like revisiting San Francisco Police Department back in the 1970s with Dirty Harry. And in fact, at the end of that video, at the end of that film, he kills the guy, Scorpio, and then he has his police badge in his hand and he throws it into the river. And it actually says on his badge, to protect and to serve, you know. And he was notorious for brutalizing suspects and withholding their basic rights. So no phone call. Dirty Harry. No solicitor. Dirty Harry. Throw him straight into prison with no toilet. Dirty Harry. Are you sure it wasn't Clint Eastwood did that arrest? Or maybe you've got your suspect wrong. I think Clint might have made a return.
Rick, let me tell you something. Well, you know, like I said, we got these good guys, these good police officers. Let me tell you something. I worked in criminology for some time. We worked in police station. I worked with a lot of police. I worked with some of the highest police that are out there. I have so much respect for them. They are lovely people. They are good people. So I don't want that to be a blight on our offices in blue, because I have so much respect. They are lovely. But what happened there? And there were a few, and they thought that they, because they wear these overalls and this and that and guns by their side, they look like these cowboys, that they can do. No, they can't do anything. You have rights. Now, on that mask case that I was talking about earlier, they were going 3 and 4 police officers 11:30 at night knocking on their door saying, oh, we just want to have it. You know what that is? That's intimidation. That's all that was. Had nothing to do with anything. The court process was in action. Person had been charged. They go to court, but they're knocking on their door. Why? It's intimidation. This is what was happening here. That's why I've used that term, and I didn't say it lightly. I respect these guys. I worked with them. There are many guys who I will go right now and have a drink, or go and talk to these guys. Lovely people, lovely families, and I'll stick with them to the end. But there were some there that I would only refer to as paramilitary. They got the order, but they got the order. They got the order. They didn't do it themselves. They got the order. And as a matter of fact, I believe it was the Commissioner of Police said words to the effect, Rick, where he said that even where my staff may be found to have done something wrong, we're not going to sanction them. Okay? All right? Yeah. If that's not a premeditated comment to say that we're going to be acting in negligence and act as a paramilitary organisation, I don't know what is. So that's just a snapshot of some of the things. By the way, Christian Pukovnik, I'll be putting up a link. This poor guy, unemployed, cannot find a job. Everyone thinks he's bashed this horse, and you should see the social media comments out there thinking that, you know, he – but now everyone's perceptions have changed, but the media doesn't report that.
No,
the media only reports.
They only tell
punch.
The bad. They only tell the bad. And in fact, yeah, I concur with what you're saying. By the way, you know, I'm not tarring every police officer with the same brush. Right. Of course, there's good guys out there, and of course, there's bad guys out there. And strangely, though, this is a follow-on from the Dirty Harry analogy. But you said those guys were receiving orders from somewhere higher up. If you watch the second Dirty Harry movie, which is Magnum Force, you have a guy called Lieutenant Briggs, who's in charge of a rogue corps of 4 motorbike cops that are going out doing vigilante justice. It's the same damn thing. I think someone somewhere in the Aussie place, somewhere up there, has been watching Clint Eastwood movies, had a few drinks, and thought, I'm going to reenact that in Melbourne or in Sydney. What do you think about that?
I certainly think. I think Melbourne was a ghastly example. You had people having their skull crushed, shoulders dislocated. We had people shot with rubber bullets at point blank range, and they had their hands up.
Yeah.
And they had their hands up.
And those things can kill, by the way. Those batten rounds can kill, because we had 30 years of it over here in Northern Ireland. And there's a lot of people were blinded and killed by shots from these so-called rubber bullets. And if anyone's thinking, well, what's the big deal? It's a rubber bullet. It's a big lump of hard rubber that's shot out like a bullet at point blank range sometimes. If that thing hits you in the chest, on the sternum, or hits you in the head, it can knock your eyes out. It can knock your teeth out. It can kill you instantly, so be under no illusion. Although it's deemed to be a non-lethal intervention by Riot Police, it absolutely most certainly can cause fatalities, and I don't think people should overlook that fact, that it can be a lethal use of force.
When they got their hands up, that's someone telling you, and there's footage of this, and I know Matt Lawson is the name, look it up, he's got his hands up, bang, they shoot him in the stomach, and he get this big bruise for weeks or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Now, look, that's just uncalled for, okay? Those police officers need to give up their badge, hand in their uniform and leave. That is disrespectful. Mm-hmm. They have no right to have a uniform. They have certainly no right to have a lethal weapon by their side. If that's what they're going to do with a so-called non-lethal, imagine what they're doing in the background when there are no cameras, there are no witnesses. We can only imagine what they're doing. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's that point there. But look, I don't know if you know, Rick, but we're going into the High Court. This is the first case in Australia and perhaps the world that's going to be tested. Uh-huh. And that's about the mandates. Uh-huh. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to mention a few things about that. That is listed for oral argument for what we call special leave on the 12th of August. 2022, which isn't, it's less than a month away.
So 12th of August, 22, oral argument on
special leave.
Do you know what we'll do? Actually, rather than we've got to take one more quick break. We come back from that break, we can get into that and run us up to the end of the hour, if that's okay with you, Tony.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate
you're listening
it.
To Tony Nicolick. This is Locked and Loaded TNT Radio. We'll be right back after this real short break. Please don't go away.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Things don't just happen. Americans didn't suddenly become morbidly obese seemingly overnight all on their own. No, high-calorie, nutritionally deficient, factory-made junk food was pushed at them in increasingly larger portion sizes over a number of years, until suddenly we have an obesity epidemic. Similarly, stickers that appeared nationwide literally overnight, telling you which way to walk down a grocery aisle, didn't just happen. No, they were printed and pre-positioned, ready for the trigger to be pulled. Likewise, local TV news nationwide, and we've all seen the clips of the montages where two screens become four, etc., and into infinity, all saying the same words from Des Moines, Iowa to Dedham, Massachusetts. Things don't just happen. For MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We need a recalibration of government.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Tony Nicolick and I are chewing the fat. We're not only discussing items of law and overreach by the authorities, we're even weaving in a little bit of classic cinema a la Rocky, Dirty Harry, and Magnum Force. I bet you never thought you would be talking about Clint Eastwood and Sylvester Stallone today, did you?
Mate, I'll tell you what, it harks back to the days where there were real movies. About what was really going on and not censorship, which is what we're seeing, to where everyone's this, you know, like this Ronald McDonald police officer that's there just handing out cheeseburgers to everybody every time they get pulled over. Like, no, that is not reality, people. We need to see there is more to this world than what you are being told. And yes, there is mass censorship going on, and that's why you do not know. But if you dig deep, pull back the outer layer, have a look, there can be no other alternative than for one to come to a conclusion to say you are being played under the old bait and switch.
Yeah, yeah. And it's happening. Listen, it's not just located in Australia. My friend, I'm talking to people all over the world on a weekly basis, and this is not unique. This is being replicated right across the board. Before we took that short break, you were about to tell us about a case that is going to the High Court on 12th of August 2022, which is next, less than a month away by my bad mental arithmetic calculations, about three and a half weeks away. Tell us a little bit more about that, if you don't mind, in your own words.
Well, that was the case that we initiated last year, soon after that letter that I introduced to Brad Hazzard. It created a storm, and it didn't create a storm. It was like a call to action to tell everyone, hey, this is what's happening. Is this happening to you? Hundreds of thousands of people. To give you an indication, there were like just at that point, now there have been many more, but at that point, 458,000 views. Now, there was one view there where one of the justices was being sworn to the High Court. I've got the utmost respect for our courts, by the way, and our justices and everyone that works here. But they tended to think that everyone was going there to watch the justice do his job. No, they were there to see justice being done.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what was that about? It was about the mandates on workers all around Australia, as articulated in my letter. If you read my letter, it'll set the scene. And remember, that all was the precursor to not only where that case went, to where the world is right now. Okay, and you mentioned the world. I'm also linked to everyone around the world, lawyers, and I'd like to get some more UK lawyers behind me, by the way, because I really love to talk to them, if you know anyone out there. So really, Rick, where we are right now, we've got this high court action. It stemmed from the fact that we're really arguing about a person's right to bodily integrity and not being coerced. Now, what got me and struck me at an early stage, really early, as you'll see in the letter, but what struck me at that early stage was this, is that how can you have informed consent and accept an injection into your body if the manufacturer themselves doesn't know what it's going to do? The leading health minister of the country, Greg Hunt, says we're in a clinical trial. You have a provisional approval. Yeah. And then you have all these people saying, well, we really don't know what it is, but here's your there can be no informed consent. Informed consent needs to be an informed consent. You need to know what it does. You need to know what it doesn't do. Okay. Yeah. And what did we say during that case? Well, we said it doesn't stop you from transmitting it. It doesn't stop you from contracting it. Okay. It's not a vaccine. It can't be a vaccine. The very premise upon which it was sold to everybody, remember, was this premise that we're protecting the vulnerable in these communities. Okay, well, if it doesn't stop you from contracting it, doesn't stop you from transmitting it, then you can get this vaccine and you can actually spread it. So the very premise upon closing everyone down, locking everyone in their house in this little cocoon and stopping everyone from doing something, well, that was just an illusion. It was a unicorn, okay? Because it's still spread. And as we can see now here in New South Wales in particular, it is skyrocketing. And guess who's leading the charge? The triple and the quadruple vaccinated. They are leading the charge in hospitals. They said, oh, we need to reduce weights. No, the stats on the unvaccinated wasn't coming out. It's starting to come out now. The UK data and the New South Wales data has started to show, okay, and they've done it in what was a great article by Dr. R. Canside, or Saeed, where he said there's been a massive bait and switch. So those people who were categorized as unknowns were placed into the unvaccinated category. You know what that did? That inflated the unvaccinated categories to make it look like they're being the burden on the health system. Well, no.
Just blatant manipulation and lies. And listen, if you had have made the claims that they made on air in a public forum last year, you had made those claims about it'll stop you getting sick, it'll stop you from getting infected, it'll stop you from transmitting, and then it didn't happen, you would have been labelled and probably jailed for leading to the injury and loss of life of very, very many people. But the people that did perpetrate these lies and did pump these lies forward, sad to say, our chief medical officers or so-called chief health officers or ministers or the like of Fauci or Chris Whitty or Patrick Vallance within the UK, they've all been guilty of it. And this business here, I like the fact that you brought up informed consent, because this is something that I've been talking to various doctors about, the lack of informed consent. Now, here's the thing, and this may sound controversial. I don't care if someone wants to get a COVID vaccine or not. That's their business. If I tell you, I say, Tony, I'm just letting you know, just to keep you aware, this is experimental. It won't stop transmission. It won't stop infection. It could cause blood clots. It could cause this. It could cause that. One thing and another. Do you still want this? And you're like, yes, that's up to you. You've went in with your eyes open. There's a thing in Northern Ireland called road racing, where guys run 200 miles per hour motorbikes around country roads with trees and brick walls. It's almost a death sentence, but they make the choice. That's the life they want to live. And if they get killed doing the job, well, then they know what the risks are. And I had a good doctor friend who I have also agreed. She's agreed that if I get sick at any time, I can phone her up in Texas and get a triage service from her, Dr. Kat Lindley. This is what she called informed consent. Tell me what you think of this. This is her definition. It's essentially a conversation between a medical professional and a patient in which there is an exchange an exchange of full risks versus benefits for any given procedure, with the patient being satisfied that they understand what is about to happen. I put it to you, and I put it to the medical professionals that are listening out there, this has not been happening, and it is gross negligence. What do you think about that?
I'll take that one step further, Rick. Let me tell you something. Doctors here, when they've been giving that informed consent, and remember, the principle here, and you'll go back to my book chapter that I spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. is that risks are underemphasized and the benefits are overemphasized. Okay. Mm. And this is why the pharmaceutical industry has come under such adverse attention when it comes to those record billion-dollar fines by the Department of Justice. Okay. Now, doctors have been deregistered for doing exactly what you just said, and yet it is national health law. Now, we have a disgraceful record right now over the last 2 years where doctors are acting in fear. They cannot give that informed consent, and because they cannot give that informed consent, patients are potentially being misled and deceived by an overarching regulatory body of doctors who are then overarching them with these policies that encourage the overemphasization, and I say overemphasization, of the benefits and underemphasizing the risks. Therefore, mm-hmm. the patient cannot get informed consent. Secondly, if a doctor is being deregistered, it is one of the most disgusting things that we can do in a society, because those people are now on this little hook to government. Okay, that is wrong. That is wrong. It should never occur. And the fact that it's occurring, we should be up in arms about it. If it's 10 doctors, one doctor, 50 doctors, 100, 100,000 doctors, but it's happening all over the world, Rick, and it's disgusting. It needs to stop. What I will say it needs to stop, Rick. It really does. Yeah, we need to stop vilifying doctors who are trying to do their ethical duty. We were speaking about the Dirty Harrys of the police force. Here we have a Dirty Harry controlling the doctors, and the doctors are acting as Dirty Harrys, excuse the metaphor, okay? Yeah. And what we have here is patients are being misled, okay? Mm-hmm. They are being misled. I agree with you. If you're told, take it. And you're happy with the information. Hey, doc, do I do this? Can it give me 10% chance, 50%, 2%, 1%? Tell me, what is it? If they do it, they sign it, take it, go. Good luck to you. It's
your
choice.
With their eyes open. That's the key. It's like smoking, right? I'm not an advocate of smoking cigarettes. However, if you want to smoke cigarettes, you can go to a newsagent or a supermarket and buy them. They've a warning on the pack. It said smoking kills. Smoking causes cancer. They cost about $20 or $30 per packet. But if you still want to go ahead and stick that carcinogenic smoke into your body, you're a big boy or a big girl. It's up to you to do that. And it's the same thing with these medical procedures. Before you go in for an operation, I've only had a couple operations in the last few years. I had a hernia and I had a skin cancer thing cut off the side of my face. Before I went in, the doctor said, listen, I might cut your facial nerve and you might have a paralyzed face, but that's part of the risk. If I don't do that, it'll eat through your skull and cause brain cancer. What do you want to do? I'll say, well, I don't want brain cancer. If I end up with a paralyzed face, so be it. Cut away. And he cut away. The other one was, when I'm cutting in your groin, and no one likes to be sliced up in the groin, believe you me, don't sneeze when you're cutting, please, in case I come away as a transgender. But what I'm saying is, I transitioned while I was in for a hernia operation unintentionally. That could be a good case for you. But the point is, listen, they give me all the warnings, Tony. And I thought, well, if I don't get this done, I'm going to be in chronic pain. I could strangulate the hernia and I could die. Okay, they might cut the wrong nerve. I might be in bad way in other ways, but I know the risks versus the rewards, and that, my friend, is what is sadly lacking. And not only that, but you mentioned the C word, coercion, the B word, which is bullying. And really, if you're a doctor out there, you know, you've got a lot of debt, you're funding a big house, maybe the kids are in education, you've got a few BMWs on tick, you've got a standard of living that you have to maintain. They know they have doctors over barrels. And I'm sorry to say, but many times when it's a toss-up between the mortgage being paid and maintaining a standard of living and doing what the right thing is ethically, a lot of people are being put in a quandary about that. And, you know, that they know what they're doing. They're evil, wicked manipulators. The Lieutenant Briggs, as I'm talking about here, by the way, there are some really good doctors out there.
That's right, Rick. And look, whether it's an expert or a matriarch or whatever, coercion is coercion. It's not justified because I'm wearing a white lab suit, such as the Stanley Milgram experiment. Anyone that doesn't know that, please go and look it up. The Milgram experiment, go and look it up. I will say one thing for all your lawyer listeners, if there are any lawyer or legal scholars out there, during our case, it was a couple of days before the decision, and I want to point this out. And I just, this is the pub, well, I call it the pub test.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not asking. You don't have to be a lawyer. I'm going to ask you, Rick, if you can make a comment, if you could. 3 or 4 days before judgment was delivered, a letter came from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New South Wales. It basically said everyone entering into the Supreme Court as of December 2021 must be double jammed. And in addition to that, what happened then was this, is that that was 3 days or 4 days before the final judgment. I want to ask this question. Is that it? Would that letter be perceived, or could it be perceived as altering the minds of those around?
That's going to be a cliffhanger, because I'll tell you why. We're believe it or not, we're out of time. So what I want you to do is, I want to accept my thanks. I want you to come back again in a few weeks' time. We're going to continue this conversation, Mr. Tony Nicolick. Thank you very much for joining us. We're out of time on TNT Radio, but he'll be back, and I'll be back after the news. Don't go away with more of the same TNT Radio.